You are listening. He said. With LA Rob, LA Rob, DWIP. DWIP. Oh yeah.
So I wanted to ask you. It seems like you're like with your audience, you're up close and personal, and you're really funny. So you add like it seems like you could have gone either way. You could have been a comedian or a magician, because it's so funny when you do your stand-ups and things. So was that something you developed over time?
I worked in a lot of comedy clubs back in my early career, and I enjoyed doing comedy, but magic is the real thing. The comedy is there to help make the magic better, not the other way around. So the magic's really the focus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you have to make it palatable. First, you have to make people want to watch it. You have to draw their attention, and you have to overcome their objections. You know, like, oh, that trick of the linking rings, I've seen that before. You know, mm-hmm. So you have to kind of like set things up so that you can get through to them. I like the idea that, to me, the magician character is more of a Pop is a fantasy character.
Mm-hmm.
Not like most magic magician characters. Pop is like a character from a movie. If you've seen a medicine show movie with a character on the movie screen, to me, the idea is that I want it to be like that actor, that character, Professor Marvel. From The Wizard of Oz.
Came
off the screen and talk to you.
Right.
And you get to interject with him. You get to play with him, and you know you can have the experience of actually being in the movie.
That's what I find so refreshing about you as a magician, is that you do have the character of Pop. And it is like somebody stepping out of the 1900s and doing magic. And it's one of those things where it's like you said, is this a trick, or is it magic? Like, kind of what's going on? It has that kind of feel to it, which is different now when you compare it to the magicians who are out and, you know, they're doing more... you know, stuff that's almost like a concert or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like they go for this big old big thing versus just that human contact and the one-on-one, and you engage, you know, everybody in the room.
Yeah, and just for clarity, could you tell me, like, what is the difference between a up-close, parlor magician and an illusionist? Like, how are they different?
Yes, that illusion is short for grand illusion.
Mm.
And a grand illusion is any trick, any illusion involving an animal bigger than a dog. You know, like if it's a tiger or a lion or a person, a human being, that's grand illusion. And stage magic is usually bigger magic with rings and boxes and livestock, rabbits and doves and stuff like that. Then the close-up magic is magic with small items,
mm-hmm.
like coins and cards,
mm.
that you can do right at the table with somebody.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I also
know all those kinds of magic at the Magic Castle. We have different rooms, different theaters for each kind of magic.
Wow. Now, is the skill level for different from, you know, table magic? Are they all kind of equally difficult to do, or?
Well, a lot of it is very different skills. Mm. Stage magic, the bigger the trick, the more it becomes a mechanical trick, where the mirrors and trapdoors, mechanical devices make the magic happen.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Whereas with close-up magic, it's usually sleight of hand, skill with the hands that makes the magic happen.
Speaking of sleight of hand, you also work with the FBI and other law enforcement agents to help them identify when people are using sleight of hands. I think some of the casinos and places like that to help them identify when a person is using sleight of hand, correct?
I have not done that. That is not my field.
Okay.
I work in con games rather than card.
Oh, con games. So like three.
Con games. Yes, my expertise is in the three card money and shell game and fast and loose and all those little street cons.
Oh, wow.
Switch, things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
They're different.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I've written several books and put out several videos on the techniques of street scammers and carnival people and for magicians to learn how to do it.
Yeah, I noticed. I was looking. You have a book out called "Stories of a Street Performer: Memoirs of a Master Magician."
Yeah, that's the basic of the book about my experiences in New York when I was a kid. And it's my 20s in New York City.
Oh, nice. So is that available as an ebook or?
Yeah, you can get it on Amazon. It's Stories of a Street Performer by Pop Hayden.
Oh, sweet.
Nikazumi Press.
Oh,
it's
nice.
It's a fun book. It's an easy read.
Oh, okay. What do you think is the biggest lesson you learned as a street performer?
What was the biggest what?
Lesson you learned as a street performer.
Oh, well, you learn so many things working as a street performer because you have an audience that you have to attract, mm-hmm. and you have to hold them, and mm-hmm. you have to keep them there for the length of the show, and then you have to get money from them.
Mm-hmm.
So, other than, unlike most performers, you really know why you're there. And your whole show is designed to get the money. You know, to get people to like you enough that they give you a tip.
Can't be too long or
they'll walk off. Can't be, you know, you have to hold their attention and find all kinds of tricks to keep their attention. And to this day, when I'm working in a theater, a large theater, I still feel like the people are going to walk away any chance they get. So I work at them like they were a street audience.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I noticed you know, there is no dead air. You know, you know, your act is very tight. Like,
yeah, it has to be because it's so slow.
Mm.
it's paced at a very slow, kind of relaxed pace. So you can't have any dead air. You can't have any dead spaces. It's got to hold people's attention, you know, even through a long pitch about the medicine.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So for someone who...
The medicine show, by the way, selling the medicine in my show and selling the various things I do, that gives me kind of like a street performer, kind of a sense of how the show is developed. It's all meant to sell the product.
You know,
so I do the full show, it's going to have, you know, everything oriented toward that. Most of the time, I'm only doing a small part of the show, you know, on a Magic Castle, a place like that, I only do 20, 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But my full show is an hour, and sometimes a 2-hour show.
Oh, wow. So my question to you, if for aspiring magicians, how would they get started? How would they put an act together and, you know, craft a persona? Like where do you even begin?
Well, first most magicians start, they get in touch with a magic shop, either online or locally,
mm-hmm.
and that's where you can find most of the local magic shop, if you have one, is the best place to go, because then they'll know who the local magicians are and who the teachers are and where the meetings for magic clubs are and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a secret society almost.
It is a secret society, but it's not really the secret so much. It's just, you know, it's more like a fan gathering. You know, the magicians, both amateur and professionals, just love magic and love talking about it. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, showing it to each other. So it's not so much that it's a guild to hide the secrets as it is a club for fans, for people that love magic.
Mm. Nice.
There are no real secrets in magic. I mean, every trick has a secret to it, but, you know, the whole idea is it's, the secret's not as important as the psychology and other things that go along in creating the trick. Mm. A trick is a whole big thing that explodes on people. The idea of magic is, of course, you can do a Twilight Zone story about magic where you talk about what would it mean if you could pull coins out of the air or you could do this, that, or the other, you know. But a magic show is where it actually happens to you, where the coin actually does come out of the air.
Okay.
You're like experiencing the magic yourself. It's sort of as if Doctor Who came up to you and told you, this crazy-looking character, Doctor Who, came up and told you that he was a Time Lord from the planet Gallifrey, and he's got to save the universe, and he needs your help, and you're thinking he's an idiot. And then he pulls out the sonic screwdriver, and it actually works.
Exactly.
And he takes you into the TARDIS, and it's actually bigger inside than it was outside.
Right.
And you're going, this guy is real.
Right.
Well, exactly. That's what a magician is kind of doing.
Wow.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So
the magic is the proof that he is who he said he was.
And that seemed to be like what I noticed with your show is you talk about, like, again, like you said with the coins, about, yeah, what if a coin could, because I saw the demonstration or the show that you did with some coins. I think you had like 6 coins, and you had a couple of coins go from one hand to the other hand, and then you tell them to hold your wrist and say, okay, there's going to be 2 more coins are going to go there. So I think it's like, because you say this is going to happen, it's like, okay. But then when it does happen, you know, you find yourself like, wow, how did that happen? And then it's almost like you anticipate what we're thinking, because you said, oh, I know you think it's a trick. You know, so why don't you hold my arms and then we'll do it again. And that's when it really is, you know, so the first while it's like, wow, oh, but then when you do the arm, then you really have us. Because I found myself like, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Like, how did this happen? So I'm looking at it on TV and I'm rewinding and then I'm playing it slow. I'm trying to like catch, when does this transfer happen? And I never caught anything.
Right.
So it's
and I like the other trick you did with the tantrum.
The cylinder.
The cylinders with the liquor bottles. The glass.
The multiplying bottles. Yeah.
Right.
Dude, I love that
and
one.
And the glasses went on top of the, you know, just, it was all these bottles showing.
And I was like, how is he even doing this?
And then you stick your hand through the tube. So it's like, so you catch us, because at first we're like, oh, he's picking up the bottles with the tube. And you show us, right when we think that, you show us, you stick your hand straight through the tube to let us know nothing is in there, like you hear us thinking. And then just so that you can get us, you set the tube down and pick it back up, and whoa, there's another bottle after we've seen that there was nothing in there. So it's like you read our mind. And is that something,
well,
as a street...
kind of like that, because the magician has to anticipate the spectator's objections to his claims,
and
has to come up with a way of deflecting those objections, mm-hmm. you know, and proving that they were wrong. So that's why the table has a very thin tabletop that you can see under it.
Yeah,
so you can tell there's no bottles underneath. You know,
right?
And
it's a great trick.
Everything is set up so that the argument for the magic is clear. And we cheat. You know, basically what magic is, it's a valid argument with the premises are not true.
Right.
I'm going to put a coin in my left hand. No, you didn't. You just pretended to put a coin in your left hand. I'll click my fingers and now I open my left hand, the coin has disappeared. Well, no, it's still in your right hand. See, but that's basically the argument you're creating, and if the people buy the premise that it's in your left hand, they're screwed.
Right.
And then the coin did vanish.
Right. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. So, like, do you do a lot of, do you do mainly corporate shows, or do you do, like, are you at the Magic Castle?
I'm 70, so I really don't like to travel so much like I used to. I used to work on cruise ships all around the world and do a lot of nightclubs and other things.
I would have never thought you were 70, sir.
What?
I would have never thought you were 70. Like, you look like 50.
Well, I never worked for a living, so it's kept me young.
you're doing what you love, I think. And that's what's keeping you young.
They say that do what you love and you'll never work a day.
That's really what it feels like. I work mostly in the L.A. area when I can, and I'm trying to set up my theater shows where we do the medicine show with the music and everything. Mm-hmm. I'll be doing that at Magicopolis at the end of this month and February in Santa Monica.
Oh,
man. It's a 1-hour show with the music and magic. And it's when we sell the medicine.
Yeah, what's the magnetized water? What is magnetized mineral water?
Well, magnetized water is something you can buy on the internet all over the place. It's water that's been magnetized between two magnets, and it's supposedly health benefits and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, I think it's really ridiculous. So I sell it in my show.
Okay.
Of course. Why not?
When I have magnetized water, it's really magnetized. It'll stick to your refrigerator.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Oh. We sell magnetized water. We actually have the water for sale. We have bottles of water that is bottled and labeled by a local company for us, and it's magnetized water diluted for drinking purposes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
So we also sell the amazing Miracle Oil, which is 100% pure mineral oil. It has no additives, chemicals, dyes, or perfumes, no dangerous active ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
It's spiritually enhanced. Mesmerically influenced through the application of natural organic magnetism and animal energies. Secret shamanic ritual first revealed to me by a placebo Indian medicine man from Cucamonga.
Okay. Oh, that's great.
I know. I love it.
Oh, my God.
Basically, the whole show is about lying. I lie about the medicine. I lie about the magic.
Right.
I'm a really good liar.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, it's really good.
Yeah.
It was really good because I buy the whole thing. It's really good.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's like you're actor, comedian, magician.
Right.
Because I feel like you stepped out of the 1900s and, you know, you anticipate, you read my mind because every time I believe like it's one way, then you show me it's another way, and you take me on a ride. You literally grab me by the collar and take me on this ride, you know, until the show is over, and then you let me go.
Yeah, and I've, you know, a long time ago, I've seen
you. You've described it exactly the way I would like it to be described. That's what I feel the experience should be like.
Okay, well, you definitely accomplished your goal.
Yeah,
because that's what I felt like.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to introduce something new to our show where we ask the interviewer questions, and so basically, like, kind of like, do you watch the Actors Studio, like, where, you know?
Yes, I do watch it.
Yeah, and I really, you know, love how they ask, you know, kind of like, you know, what's your favorite food?
Yeah,
and just to kind of get a sense of, you know, a deeper sense of what, you know, the interviewee's tastes are. So if, you know, I just wanted to ask you a couple of questions and just, all right, so I'll, you know, ask them and just say the first thing that pops in your head.
All right.
So, blank always makes me feel inspired.
Music.
Okay. I laugh every time I think about
Various comic strips I really love. like Gary Larson and Jerry Von Amerang and the neighborhood, those things, they always make me laugh when I think back on them.
Oh, okay. If I could be anything, I'd be...
a magician.
Okay, of course. Hot or cold?
Hot or cold?
Yeah.
Which do I prefer, or just...
Yeah, what do you prefer, hot, cold?
I tend to be hot. I focus on stuff that interests me and that I like, and I'm very enthusiastic about all of those things. But I'm pretty an idiot about everything else. I'm like a little kid, really, with attention deficit disorder. I have lots of interest and, you know, a wide-ranging interest, but I flirt like a butterfly from thing to thing. Magic is the only thing that's stable in my life, and magic and my wife.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, you said in one of your acts that your mom, what was it that you said you wanted to be a magician when you were a little boy? And your mom said...
I asked my mom when I was 9.
Uh-huh.
I said, Mom, I want to be a magician when I grow up. She said, nonsense. You can't do both.
Oh.
Which is pretty much true.
Yeah.
Right. I can believe that.
Mm-hmm. All right. So my next question. So imagine if you had superpowers, what would your superpower be?
Well, my magic is basically my superpower.
Exactly.
You know, I have the ability to read minds, to change things with my mind, like to change a card from one card to another, you know, to pull coins out of the air, to make rings penetrate each other. Basically, my superpowers are all for stupid things.
Oh my goodness!
I guess it could be useful, but I threw it away on magic for entertainment.
Oh, okay.
So for me, my superpowers would be the ability to do the things I claim to be doing on stage.
Oh, okay.
All the time.
For real.
Well, as far as we're concerned, you do it for
real,
because I still haven't figured it out.
Yeah.
So.
and finally, if you had a warning label, what would it say?
I got cut out for a minute.
Oh, okay, no problem. Oh, okay, so I'll ask you again. If you had a warning label, if you were like a bottle or something, but if you had a warning label, what would it say?
A warning label?
Yeah.
Test and verify.
Test and verify. All right. That was cool.
I would lie to you. I'd rather lie to you than eat.
Test and verify.
Test and verify. We thank you very much for taking time out to for this interview.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. It's been a lot of fun. I hope to see you guys again sometime.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
We definitely enjoy your show, so absolutely.
Well, I'll be at the Magic Castle February 10th through the 16th.
Okay.
If you guys want to come up and see me, let me know, and I'll get you. You can be my guest.
Oh, cool.
Thank you.
That'd awesome,
be great.
Man. Thanks, Pop.
All right.
We look forward to it.
So, look, to follow us, you can go to iTunes, TuneIn. You can like us on Facebook at He Said, She Said, LA Rob, and Be the VIP. There's a lot of He Said, She Said out there, so make sure it says LA Rob and Be the VIP. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at LA Rob and Be the VIP. Want to follow LA Rob's shit, I mean his stuff, you can go to Mel Hondo, MaleHondo, at YouTube. Did I say anything?
You did.
See?
No, you missed one.
What?
Lord Tyree, LORDTYRE. That one is not in one of my older.
And I'm not calling him Lord anything, so that's probably why I messed up.
At least not on my...
Yeah.
Alrighty.
We're off mic even.